May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Joe read to us from Deuteronomy chapter 18, and in that first verse of the lesson it says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me," that is, like Moses, "from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen." The Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is him. It is to him that you shall listen. Not long ago, I had an encounter with a young man, and he told me that I do not listen. He said that he had told me multiple times what I needed to do for the parish, but that I would not listen to him. I told him that I had heard every word that he had said, but that I was not interested in carrying out my ministry as a priest in the way he described. And he said that he had told me that because he wanted to make me a better priest. This encounter highlights the clear distinction for me between what it means to hear and what it means to listen. There are many, many voices vying for our attention every day. And it's really hard to avoid hearing what they're saying. We hear all of these different voices every day. But the voices that you listen to are the voices that have authority in your life. And so the question begs, to whom are you listening? Let me explain. Let's look first at the biblical concept of listening. In that passage in Deuteronomy this morning, God tells us that he's going to raise up Jesus. He's going to raise up a prophet like Moses, a prophet, a priest, a king, and that's Jesus. He is going to raise up Jesus, and he says, and it is to him that you shall listen. Now, the context of that passage in Deuteronomy is that the people of God had been listening to mediums and diviners and sorcerers, basically everybody except God himself. And so in verse 14, the word says, "But as for you," Moses is pointing to the people of God, "but as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this." God does not want us to listen to those voices. He wants us to listen to him. Now, this commandment to listen to him is something that is reiterated in all four of the Gospels. In the transfiguration of Jesus on the holy mountain, we hear that story in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 17, Mark 9, Luke 9. And in that passage, when Jesus is transfigured before the disciples, a voice comes out of the cloud and says, "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." That is a direct fulfillment of the prophecy that is found in Deuteronomy. And then in John's gospel, in chapter 18, verse 35, Jesus has been arrested. And he is standing in front of Pilate. And he tells the governor, "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." His is the voice of truth. This is the voice that we should be listening to. Now, listening, as we understand it in that biblical context, is listening is obedience to authority. In the gospel today, Jesus has gone into the synagogue in Capernaum, and he is teaching, and the people are hearing what he is saying. But it says they are astonished by his teaching. And then a demon appears. Now, Jesus, they had said Jesus had taught them with authority, and that's why they were astonished. He had taught them as one who has authority, not as the scribes. And then that authority is made manifest when this demon appears. For the people were hearing what Jesus was saying, but they weren't really listening to him. They weren't being obedient to what he was saying. They weren't willing to submit to his authority. And then this demon appears, and in verse 27, after Jesus has cast out the demon, again, the people are amazed. And they question, what is this new teaching? And then they declared this. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Now, isn't it interesting? The demons obey him, but the people were reluctant to obey him. So here we go. There is this question about listening and obedience. The Greek word used in the Transfiguration and in John chapter 18 is akouo. I know, Father David, you would be told you would get an F for this because I just used a Greek word in a sermon and I make no apology for that. Heck, I taught seminary for 19 years. I never told anybody they were going to get an F if they used a Greek word, but there we go. There's a Greek word, akouo. Anyway, the Greek word used in the Transfiguration in John 18 is akouo, which means to listen, all right? But the word that is used in verse 27 in today's gospel is hupakouo. Okay, it's from the same root. But the translators of the gospel translated this not as listen, which it could be translated as, but as to obey. To listen is to be obedient to the voice that is speaking into your life. That is why the translators of this gospel passage said the unclean spirits obey him. They heard him and they were obedient. They listened. Now, when we listen to somebody, we are giving them the right to speak into our lives. We hear a lot of voices, as I said, every single day. And we pay attention to a lot of different things on a daily basis. But to whom are you listening? To whom are you agreeing to be obedient? I was honest with that young man in the example I gave at the opening of the sermon. I did hear every single word that he said, but I had not given him authority to speak into my life as a parish priest. Let me give you an example. All right. I think every mother who is listening to this can probably relate to this. All right. When a mother is dealing with a disobedient child, how often do we hear the words, "Are you listening to me, boy?" She's not asking if the child is hearing the words. She's asking, are you going to be obedient to me or not? And that's really what it amounts to. Listening is agreeing to be obedient to what is being said, or to the person who is saying it. There are a number of people to whom I have given permission to exercise authority in my life. These are people who have a right to speak into my life, people I will listen to, and to whom I will be obedient. Obviously, the number one that we have to be obedient to is God. But how does God speak to us? Well, he speaks to us prophetically. There are people who are called to be prophets who've spoken into my life, and I've given them permission to speak into my life. If it's somebody who's giving me a word of prophecy who is not, as it were, a recognized prophet, I will say, yeah, okay, I will seek confirmation of that word. That's not to rule out that they might have a word to speak into my life, a word that I need to be obedient to. And God speaks to us in sermons. He might even speak to you through this one. Who knows? It could happen. God is miraculous in that way. But there are preachers that I trust, Father Chris and Father David, I implicitly trust that they are listening to God, and I believe that they are speaking the word of God into my life, and I'm willing to listen to that. I'm willing to be obedient to the word that they speak. But there are other people who are really important to me, who I have given permission to speak into my life. As a matter of fact, the bishops of the church. I made a vow that I would listen to my bishop. I made a vow that I would listen to all of his successors. I am obedient to them because I have given them permission to speak into my life. My rector's council, I trust them implicitly. I believe that they are listening to the Lord, and I want to hear what God is saying to them. And so I listen to my rector's council. I have an accountability partner and a confessor. We've been together for 20 years. We have a huge track record of being able to listen to one another and to hear what God is saying through the other. And when I make my confession and Father Mark gives me that penance, I need to listen to that. I need to be obedient and to do what he is telling me to do. And you know what? I have a wife, and I've learned how to say yes, dear. But it's not just that. Seriously, a wife is somebody who God has given to me that we may walk together and have mutual responsibility and mutual respect. God does speak to me because we are in a sacramental relationship. It is a channel of grace, and I have given her permission to speak into my life, and I have permission to speak into hers, and we listen to what God is saying to each other through the other. And there are many of you who are in the parish who I believe God speaks to me regularly. And I will take anything that I hear under advisement. I will seek confirmation of those words because I trust you, because I believe that God is working in your lives. And so we need to listen to what God is saying to the people he has put into our lives. But we need to be very careful. Because there are a lot of voices out there. There is a cacophony, if you will, surrounding us every single day. There are voices, multiple voices, vying for our attention. And we need to be very careful and to choose to whom we are going to listen. There's the television news and internet feeds and Facebook and other social media, all competing for our attention. And we hear these voices, but we need to have a filter, because unfiltered, these voices will begin to go or to move, as it were, from hearing into listening. And when we begin to listen to those voices, voices that may not be from God, we give them authority. And we open a door for the devil to have his way in our lives. We need to be careful. Another way to translate that word, hupakuo, is to hearken at the door. I saw that in Kittle's Theological Dictionary. And when I read that, immediately my mind went to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me." Jesus says that anyone who hears his voice and opens the door, it's not enough just to hear his voice. We need to open the door and allow him to come in and sup with us, to eat with us, to be with us, to exercise his authority in our lives. To listen is to obey. To open the door, to let him in. And when we let him in, we need to allow him to direct and rule our hearts, our minds, our very lives. Day after day, we hear the voice of God in the scriptures, in sermons, through our friends, through our family. But are we opening the door? Are we letting him in to take authority? The question could be rephrased very simply. To whom are you listening? You know, we're only 17 days away from the beginning of Lent. People always want to know about Lenten disciplines and, you know, what are we going to do during the season of Lent to grow closer to God? And of course, if you grew up in that Catholic tradition, the question is, okay, what am I giving up for Lent? Well, let me make a suggestion of what you can give up for Lent. All right. Actually, Bishop Adler did this. He came to Church of the Messiah in Jacksonville for one of our Lenten clergy conferences. And at that clergy conference, he said that the previous Lent, he had given up listening to the news and he had never taken it back up again. And he gave this word to the clergy during that Lent. And he said, I challenge you, I encourage you, turn off the news. Do not listen to the network news. You will find it an incredibly freeing experience. And I took his word at that time. That was, I don't even remember, 1999 or something like that. And he said, don't worry, if something important happens, you'll hear about it. So I just started not listening to the news. I would turn off the news. And as a matter of fact, Miranda and I, for the last 20 years, we haven't watched a network news broadcast. And you know what? I knew when the Twin Towers fell. I knew when the Pentagon was attacked by an airplane. I even heard recently that there's a pandemic going on. You know, if it's something big, you're going to hear about it. I promise you. And you can choose the news through which you, the channel through which you get the news that you need to know. You don't have to watch the network news. So turn off the news during this Lenten season. It's a challenge that was given to us by our first patriarch. And I reiterate that challenge to you today. Limit your internet time. Curb your social media, whatever it may be. I was very encouraged last Lent. A young lady in the parish told me that she had turned off Facebook for the season of Lent. It's a wonderful thing. Just cut off these channels where we have voices that may or may not have anything to do with what God is trying to say into our lives. Filter what comes into your heart and into your mind. You know, you don't have to follow everybody who is on Facebook. You really don't. You can unfollow those who are offering unhealthy words.
I do that a lot.
Miranda's saying in the background, I do that a lot. Yes. But wherever you give up something during Lent, you need to put something positive in its place. So if you turn off the news and you limit your internet time, you curb your social media accounts, then pick up your Bible and take time for quiet contemplation. I was bemoaning to the Lord this morning. It's now been 11 months since I've been able to go to a monastery and have a quiet retreat. But the Lord showed me that you have quiet time, Bill. You can use that quiet time every morning. Take that time and commune with me. It was quite a recalibration, as it were, of my contemplation time. We are going to have a quiet day again here. I just sent out an email, and I hope you have received that email now. But during the 10th through the 13th of February, the week before Lent begins, I'm asking everybody to take an hour in any one of those 3 days, 4 days. And then on Saturday, the 13th, we'll get together via Zoom and share what God has spoken to us. You may have the very word that this church needs to listen to. And so I encourage you, I exhort you, take time to be part of this quiet day experience. The last one we did back in October, I truly believe that was a profound experience for everybody who was involved. It is time for us to listen to him. We've been through some very trying times over this past year, and God has been speaking to us. The Lord told me that He is dismantling the church so that He can remake it in His image. I wasn't sure about that word. I talked to the Rector's Council about it, but I was still having some doubts. So I called Bishop Adler. No, if I called Bishop Adler, that would have been news. No, I called Bishop Jones and I asked him. I said, here's what I'm hearing, that God is wanting to dismantle the church and remake it in His image. And he said, Bill, I've been hearing very much the same word. He said, it is time for the church to begin to walk in maturity. And walking in maturity begins with listening to the one whom God has promised to send, the one who speaks with authority. So my brothers and sisters, it is time for us to listen to Him. Let's gather together. Let's have a quiet day together. And let us have a holy Lent where we all listen to the one whom God the Father has sent, Jesus Christ, the one who has authority to speak into our lives. Amen.